I noticed there's still a lot of these flyers in the back. They're on the radiator over there. Take them, use them, put them up on your. What is this? Can you see it from here? It's the thing we're going the 27th. Messiah in the what? Passover. Take them, bring them, distribute them, invite somebody. Gloria's taking names today. So if you're driving, tell her. If you have room for somebody, tell her. If you need a ride, tell her. Whatever it is, okay? We'll make sure that we have enough things set up that we can all get there and enjoy it. We're going to try to leave here probably like 6:15-ish, maybe 6:30 at the very latest. We want to get there. It starts 7 o'clock, but, you know, and there's sometimes little bridge traffic, but it's close. It's Deptford Mall. It's 10 minutes, 15 minutes from here. You know, it's I make it sometimes in 7 and a half when I'm driving. And I just like, you know. I did an Evel Knievel jump over the bridge. It's like wild. It's amazing. Sometimes it takes me longer from 7th and Bigler to here than it does coming from. I have to cut down all the different, anyway. If you want to drive with me sometime. Anyhow, please join us on the 27th. It is going to be a blessed time. Just raise your hand if you're praying for anybody right now. For more than one person. Okay, you raise. Hold them up. Father, as we begin this time of your word, we present every need before you, those that we are standing in the gap for, interceding for. Lord, the requests, the supplications. Father, we bring them before you. We lay them at your feet. We trust you in your word, even for ourselves, that we may live a life that is pleasing unto you and a life that, Lord God, walks again, as we already heard, by faith, not by sight. Thank you, Father, for hearing, as you promised to always hear our prayer. And thank you for the answer that you promised will come. And, Father, as we wait upon you, I pray the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds. Now bless your word to our hearts, that it would bear fruit and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're wondering, well, it's getting close to like Easter because it's coming real soon. It's early this year. It's in March, not in April. You know, it's one of the earlier times it can come. And maybe you're wondering, like, why are we still in Ephesians? Well, first of all, it's God's word. But second of all, there's a reason. There's a reason, which I'll really touch on in a few moments, okay? So if you have your Bibles, get them out. If you don't, there's probably one in the pew. If you don't want to do that, get your phone. If it has a Bible app, if it doesn't, download it, but not now, because then you won't be able to, you'll be distracted. But download a good app. If you download the church app, right, which many of you have done. We are actually almost at 100 people downloaded the church app, so praise God, it's getting there. You know, but if you have downloaded the app, there's a Bible app on there. And if you haven't silenced your phone, you can do so now. then that's why when you get them out, it's good to do that. But there's a Bible on the app, and you can also download the full Bible from that site, so you can have a Bible on your phone. I do not always carry my Bible as much as I used to do back in the day. I kind of miss that. I probably should just carry it everywhere more like I used to. But I have it here. And, you know, so sometimes if I'm there looking at it, you know, sometimes, especially like on Tuesday nights, I'll be downstairs and people think, oh, he's probably texting or checking his stuff. You know, no, I'm in the Bible and I'm looking at it. So, you know, if you have your Bible on your phone, you want to take it out now, that's great. Ephesians, go to the end of chapter 4 again, and I'll explain why as we move into chapter 5. As you know, or I hope you know, the Bible is God's word. If you know that, say amen. Okay. Do you know who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit, I mean, he wrote the word, okay? He used men. He did. Vessels. We call it inspired. So as holy men of God began to write, the Holy Spirit of God inspired them to write the words that God wanted them to bring down, put down, so that we could have them even today, till today. They've tried to destroy this Bible often. Still the best-selling book, as far as I understand, by far. Why do I bring that up? Well, how many of you also know, though, that God used men to write this? And by the way, there's so many evidences. I don't want to get into that now because we have to get right into the message today. But there's so many evidences to the accuracy, to the fact that this is a inspired book. I'm talking about physical proofs that you can go through if you need to do that, or maybe for somebody else you need to do that. If you want to talk to me afterwards, I could share that with you. So many things that show that this book is so unique that it only can be the Word of God. But you know something? When you, how many doing well with your devotional reading? Doing good still? Yeah, I got behind this week, caught up last night, praise God, so I got it caught up. When you go to read the devotional, the first thing gives you a Bible reading, right? And what does it call out? Like, for example, one of the ones last week was Isaiah 61. I said 1 to 3, I think it was, or 1 to 2, whatever it was. You know that when they were writing that, they didn't have those things in there. In other words, when the Bible was being written, Moses was writing Genesis, God didn't say to him, Moses, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning. No. The Holy Spirit's moved upon his heart that in the beginning. Just kept on writing. The chapters and the verses, the divisions that we have in there, were put in later. And they're for us. From the standpoint of, if I say to you, for example, hey, did you read today's, you know, last week's reading? Which one? Oh, the one from Isaiah chapter 61. If I say the one from Isaiah, you're like, yeah, where? It's a big, long thing. Where? If I say Isaiah 61, you go, ooh, I could find that, right? So they're there, and they're helpful. But they're not inspired. And because they're not inspired, sometimes they come along at the worst time. Did you ever notice that? And I point this out because today in Ephesians, a lot, actually it happens a lot in the Ephesians, I'm only pointing it out today. This is one of those times that it's a shame that there's a break, where there's a break. And what I mean by this is, as we were into Isaiah chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 last week, we were taking off and putting on. Remember that? Just like we would take off clothes and put on new clothes, we're taking off the old ways and putting on the new ways. So I'm just going to remind you a little bit, just to catch us up here, you know? He says that you put off, verse 22, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Take off, put on. Take off, put on. Wherefore, putting away, taking off, lying, put on what? Every man truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbors. Right? Be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down in your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You used to do that. No more. Don't give him any place. If you stole, don't steal anymore. Work with your hands. So much so that you'll even have stuff enough to give to other people. Don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But what is good to edify? So get rid of the corrupt communication and bring stuff that will build people up to minister grace to them. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God who sealed us to the day of redemption. And then let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with malice. Get rid of that. And now put on what? Kindness to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And yes, that forgiveness thing, do it. It will impede your Bible, your growth as a Christian so much. I ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to deal with that unforgiveness in your heart. But you do it for Christ's sake, as he has forgiven you. And now we have a break, but there's no break. See, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore. Right into it. It's a continual thought. Be ye therefore imitators. King James says followers. Same thing. Imitators of God as dear children. Bam. Bam. Take off the old that you used to do because you were in your former self, the old man, the old person that lived to itself, lived to this world, lived to the beat of this world and the pressures of this world and the everything. Take all that stuff off. Take it off and add. Because if you take off, you're just naked. You know, we don't want to walk around naked. We want to walk around clothed in something better. And we take off all that old stuff, and we put on the new things that are like Jesus and be imitators of him. Follower is also a good word because it's the same word you could even use disciple in a way. You know, what does a disciple do? He literally walks in another one's footsteps. So I think it's safe to talk about snow now because we're done now, right? Completely. 3 years now, we hardly, right? But picture, if you can remember when it did, snow. Before everybody steps in it. Nice snow. Right? Nice, fresh fallen snow. But there's one person that you need to follow who did walk in it. And he walked ahead of you, and you can't see them anymore, but you can see their what? And you go, I want to follow them. Right in their footsteps. Now, if I'm trying to follow my brother-in-law, Bob, I got to go. But you get the idea. You literally walk in their footsteps. You got your Bibles out? I know it's on the screen. You could use the screen. That's fine. Jason's good. He'll follow along. He's good. Read along with me. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Have you ever watched a child imitate their parents? It's cute. Why do they do it? They want to be like mom or dad. Until they turn to be about like 6 or 7. Used to be like 13, but now it's like. Yeah. But it's cute when they want to be like mom and dad. They want to imitate them. And walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I got to do something. I got to walk. First thing out of the gate is I got to walk in love. The same way he walked. I used to not walk that way, but I got to, when I walk this way, I'm taking off and I'm putting on. I'm following. To the point where he gave himself as a sacrifice. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints. Not who you are anymore. It's what you once were. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not, what, convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Not that stuff. That's not following. Not filthiness, foolish talking. That's not following. But giving of thanks is. For this you know, and if you don't know yet, you're going to know it now. no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Why? Because you were once that way before, but you're not now. The verse 8. You were one time, I'm reading King James, but up here, right? You were once like that. For you were sometimes, way in the past, before you were a Christ, before you were born again, you were darkness. But now you're light in the world, light in the Lord, I should say, walk as children of light. So in other words, don't imitate those that you once were like, that are still living that way, that are in darkness, because that's not you anymore. But yet we do sometimes, don't we? We do. We used to be darkness, now we're not. See, because the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, not in lies, not in unholiness, not in evil. It's not in that. It's not. Proving, verse 10, what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Oh, I get it. I get it. I think I can't imitate it, but I can still watch it. I won't do it, but I could watch it on television, or I could stream it on my computer. I could just watch it. No, you know why? Because what you're going to continually look at, you're going to begin to what? Imitate. Yeah, you will. You might not go outright out. You're going to be like Lot again. Remember we talked about him before? Oh, hi, I'm a just man. I know the true God. I'm Abraham's nephew. I know the truth. It set me free. And Abraham told me I can go anywhere I want to go. So you know what? I want to pitch my tent. I want to have the front of my tent with my lounge chair for me and Mrs. Lot. And we sit out after a hard day's work. And we make ourselves a nice dinner. And we sit back. And we watch the show at Sodom. It's streaming live tonight. We would never do that, of course. Of course we would never do that. Never. No, that's not who we are. But we could watch it. We could talk about it. We could say, did you see that, honey? Oh, wow. No, we won't imitate it. No, you won't until you do. Until you're living in Sodom now, which he did. And not only was he living there, he was considered one of the chief men there. He was set at the gate. That's where all the elders sat. Do you think they would have accepted him if he wasn't imitating them? You think? No. No. He began to imitate them. And you know the tragic story. When the judgment was coming, anybody else, Lot, that can escape? Nobody would believe Lot, because all they saw was themselves in him. Darkness, not light. Death, not life. Yes, we'll imitate what we watch. will imitate what we continually look at, where we spend our time with. It's a shame to even speak of those things which are done in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It's all going to come out. It's all going to be exposed, even what you try to hide. Oh, yeah, we don't do it. We just watch it. Yeah, well, that'll be exposed too. The light exposes everything. What you think you can hide, you can't. Even in this world, it'll be exposed. One way or another, the light of Christ will expose it. Wherefore, so get this, get ready, church. Wherefore, because of all of this, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. When you sleep, you're not dead, are you? Are you? You know, I'm dead asleep. I know. But you're literally not dead. Your alarm clock doesn't go off, and then they get the paddles and go, boom, come back. No, you're sleeping, even if you're a sound sleeper. But when you're asleep, you can do things. Like, you could talk in your sleep. You could dream. You could, you know, your heart beats, you breathe, all that kind of stuff goes on. But you're really, like, not aware. You're not aware. Does anybody here sleepwalk? You might not want to raise your hands. Did you ever do it? Some people have done that. Did you ever have somebody you know sleepwalk? It's weird, isn't it? It's weird. They could even seem to be fully awake. They have no recollection of it the next day, right? Strange thing. But guess what? The church is being told to wake up, church. You're not dead. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up, church. Now's the time. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Oh, why are we still hanging around in Ephesians? Well, remember last week we mentioned the fact of scriptures in Hebrews that talked about provoking. Anybody remember that? Okay, five of you do. Provoking and exhorting. Provoking to love and good works. Exhorting one another. Not forsaking coming out together, assembling together, as some have become their habit. But that's not our, should be our habit. We need to come together and meet together to provoke one another to anger, to unforgiveness, to filthy living, to coarse speaking. No, to love and good works. When? Even more so as you see his day approaching. I don't think I'm being dramatic when I say this. We are in the latter parts of the last days. We are. If you've been paying attention, even if you've been sleeping, somehow I think you know that everything that the Bible says that's going to happen just before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is happening today in our lifetime. Now, that doesn't mean we know the date, the hour. It doesn't mean that. And we don't know what God's plan is and all of that. But we know we're supposed to be watching, and we know we're supposed to be ready. And we know we're not supposed to fall asleep and slumber when he's coming. We're supposed to be ready at his coming, right? So yet, with all of this, we're still asleep, and we're forgetting that we got to exhort one another and provoke one another to love. Why are we still doing this, church? Because the days are short. He says it here. Look, the days are evil. The days are evil. Redeem the time. Not imitating the world around you. Not being undercover Christian. Not being the you know, the second coming of Lot, but being uniquely the child of God that you and I are called to be, walking wisely, not as fools, knowing that the days are evil, because listen, the world is not going to see Jesus unless they see Jesus through you and I. We're the church that he's left here, the body of Christ. Now that takes on many forms and ways, but they need to see Christ in us. The days are evil. Redeem them wisely. The days are evil. The world's in chaos. The world's out there with no hope. And here we go imitating the world. Ah! And we get our cues from the world. And we get our answers from the world. And we find our hope in the world. Oh, help us, Lord. Oh, I'll tell you, baby. Come November, it's going to be a big change. It's not. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. I mean, no, it matters from the standpoint of do what you're supposed to do and pray. And yes, we have a system that we go out and we vote because we should do that, because it's important that way. But it's not going to change the hearts of people. Only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus could do that. The days are evil. Do you have people that you, like, hang around with that are spoilers? Like, if you're watching a movie that they saw, they tell you the end. Or you're reading a book and they tell you the plot. Well, I'm going to spoil. But you should already know this, so it's not a spoiler. The days aren't going to get any better on their own. I read the book. It gets worse and worse. The only way it gets better is when Jesus comes, either to the heart of individual people, or when it gets too far gone, he's going to come back, call us out of here, and he's going to come and return. The days are evil. Are we redeeming the time wisely? Are we? Are we in our slumber? Are we sleeping? Ah, wake me up when I hear the trumpet. Be not unwise, verse 17, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine. So if we want to know what the understanding what the will of the Lord is, he's just been telling us, take off the old stuff, put on the new stuff. Redeem the time wisely. Walk not as fools. Don't be drunk with wine or insert anything else you want to put there to that brings you drunkenness. And it doesn't, I don't mean only intoxication by a substance. You could be drunk on pleasure. You could be drunk on self. You could be drunk on whatever. Just fill in the blank. It's what you pursue, what you live in, what the thing that you know, when you're drunk, you're not in all your faculties, right? So whatever this thing that keeps you out of your faculties, whatever it is, don't be drunk with that. That's where excess is. That's where crazy living is. That's where living like the world wants you to live, the way that you've named. You're not that way anymore. Don't be drunk with it anymore. But be filled. With what? The Spirit. That's the capital. Holy Spirit. Be filled. 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 Intoxicated with the Spirit. Filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And instead of talking in a way to one another that is not convenient, not right, I'm using King James language here, you're going to 19, speak to yourselves, and it will be others, and that means ourselves, each other, in psalms and hymns. I think I heard somebody say that earlier before I came up here. Hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting ourselves or yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wow! That's a different way of living, isn't it? But it's the right way of living. Okay, so now we got to back up, verse 1. Be ye therefore what? Imitators or followers of God. as dear children. I don't know if it happens as much today as a form of entertainment. I don't know if it's kind of something that had its heyday and it's not as popular today, or maybe it's because I just don't watch a lot of stuff anymore. I don't know which it is. But I remember growing up, one of the things that I used to like to watch on TV was impersonators. Do you remember the impersonators? Remember them? Some really good ones used to be back in the day. Frank Gorshin, remember him? That guy, you could impersonate people, right? Rich Little, right? Remember Rich Little? And these guys made careers over that stuff. There was other ones out there too. And they were really good at it, weren't they? I mean, they would just come on, start their thing, and they would throw out a name, and they would just go right into it, right? And if you close your eyes, you think that person was there. And sometimes when you open your eyes, you almost could see the person. Because they, like, actually started to change, and, like, they would take on, like their facial expressions sometimes, right? Pretty cool. Do you remember those things? I think there's probably some who still do it today. I'm sure there are. You know, I don't know any do it, you know, on a regular basis, make a career out of it. But that was a big thing, and maybe still is. They would impersonate. I used to be fascinated by it. And as hard as I tried, I couldn't do it. I was bad at it. I was bad at trying to imitate people. I was even bad at trying to do, like, you know, different accents, you know. Sometimes I could pull it off for a little bit, for about 2 seconds. And I start out trying to do an Asian accent, and I end up in South America somewhere. I don't know. It's just, I'm not good at it. It's not my thing. But I was always fascinated how these people did that. They were imitating people. They made a career out of it. They say that impersonation, or what, is the sincerest form of imitation, is the sincerest form of what? Flattery. They usually impersonate what? Famous people? People they looked up to? We're not called to imitate the people of the world. We're called to imitate who? God. All right. Can we imitate God's omniscience, which means God's all-knowing ability? Can we do that? No. Can we imitate God's omnipotence, meaning he's all-powerful? Can we imitate? No. I could say, hey, stone, become bread. It's not going to, no, I can't do it. Can't do it. I can't. I'm not God. We're not God. Even if we're with God in eternity, you know, when we've been there 10,000 years, in eternity, right? Are we ever going to be able to imitate those characteristics of God? No, he's God, we're not. But we're called to imitate him, not become him. Big difference. We can never be God. But we're supposed to imitate God, impersonate God, if you will, so that when people see us, they're seeing him in us. And when we open our mouth to talk, they hear his voice. When we walk, they see his walk. When we interact, they see his compassion and love, and his mercy, and his grace. That's what we're called to do, church. We're called to imitate our God as dear children. Not for flattery's sake, but because of the fact that we do admire him or love him so much that we want to be like him. We want to be disciples and walk in his footsteps. We want to do that. We need to do that. I had to pull this off this morning, off the computer. told you, I always admired the people that can impersonate, and I could never do it. So I went on this website. I didn't write down the name of the website, but as I went on it, it's telling people, teaching people how to do impersonations. Yeah. Okay. You know the first thing? It gave me some hope about that. It says, there's a technique, and you can learn it. Oh, I can learn it. It's like any other skill set, they're saying. Okay. Whether you're trying to mimic a celebrity or a character voice or someone you know in real life. But it requires time. Oh, okay. Practice. And dedication. Oh. That's probably why I'm bad at it, just like golf. I never played it enough to get good at it. Understanding and imitating someone else's voice starts with what? Careful listening and observation. Pay close attention to their tone, speed, rhythm, accent, and even the consonants that they stretch. A deep voice may require a contraction of your vocal cords, while a higher voice may talk with your throat with the nasal passages. Your own voice is a starting point. Altering your speech pattern. Adopt different voices. Note mannerisms, body language, and facial expressions, since these contribute to a good impression. To get good at impressions, start by carefully studying the person and observing and listening to the person you want to mimic. Notice the way they speak, their accent, their vocal characteristics. Take note of their body language, facial expressions, and mannerisms. Then practice repeatedly recording and playing back your efforts to identify areas needed for improvement. Wow. Well, when it comes to me becoming an impersonator of people, I've given that up many years ago, and I'm not going to try it now, but I want to imitate my Lord more and more, which means I have to what? Study him more. Pay attention with him more. Be with him more. Watch him. Practice. Living it out. Truly, not just as a slogan, but what would Jesus do in a situation? How would he act? How would he respond? How would he have me as his dear child respond? How can I sound like Jesus so that my words speak? And when they come forth from my voice, my mouth, people hear the voice of Jesus through me. And not to flatter me, but to glorify my Father in heaven and to make him known. Because that's what the world needs to see. Because the days are evil. And all they see is everybody imitating this dark, dead world around us that is literally going to hell. But we're called to imitate Christ. Will you be in your word? Will you be on your knees in prayer? Will you get up from your times of knees, your knees in prayer, and would you say, Father, help me now to walk as you would walk? But then be honest enough with yourself to say, with all of that, I can't do it. And he knows that. Because we're flesh and we're still in the body of sin. But he will remind you of some facts. One, you're no longer a sinner. You're a sinner who's saved by grace. You're a child of God. You're no longer a child of this world. And he has called you to walk as his child. And he has promised to give you everything you need to walk as his child, which is most importantly what? Himself, the Holy Spirit, living within you. And as you and I learn to decrease, the Holy Spirit in us, if you will increase. Not that he becomes more, he's already in us, but he now has more of us. And now we'll begin to look like him and talk like him and think like him and act like him. And the world will say, they've been with Jesus. See, an impersonator may do an impression of somebody you don't like. And you say, oh, I hope he finishes that one and moves on to somebody else. I don't like that person. Well, guess what? The world's not going to like when we doing impressions of Jesus, if you will. I'm to say that in the highest form. We're imitating him. They're not going to like it. But they're going to take notice. They're not going to see the same old that's in everybody else. They're going to see something different and unique. And in that, they'll have an opportunity to make a choice. To either reject him. Remember, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. Or to be curious enough to come a little closer and say, how do you do that? Well, let me tell you, I got a story for you about what this Jesus has done in my life and how he changed me and how he's given me hope and peace and how he can do the same for you. There's something better, and he's the answer. I only gave one scripture. Jason, you can put it up there now from 1 Peter. What does Peter tell us? But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, be ye holy for what? I am holy. That's why the other stuff's got to go. And then we put on the new stuff, and we don't grieve the Spirit, but say, Father, do in me what I cannot do, that I may represent you to this world as your dear child, that they may know. Behold what manner, John says, his love is this, that we have been called the children of God. Father, thank you for your word today, for this reminder and exhortation and, Lord, even correction where it's needed from your word, that we would take our portion today to be the imitators of God as your dear children. Father, let us love you so much that everything within us wants to imitate you, and that it would not just be something that is external. Lord, the work we know, Father, and we're asking for that happens within us first as you change us.
Yes, Lord.
As we, Lord God, die more to self, we become more alive unto you. And Lord, as you change the inside, then the outside becomes even more apparent. And that people will mark us that we've been with you because they'll see you in us. Father, help us to be the imitators of God that you want us to be.
Yes.
To walk not as fools, but as wise. To know that it's urgent that we do it now because the days are evil. So, Father, today we ask that you help us to take it all off, the things that keep us from revealing you to this world, and that we put on the garments of your righteousness of holiness, which are on display, that the world may know, and they would come for themselves to be imitators of God in Christ. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's start by provoking today, encouraging today each other before we leave.